Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
You know, well, I'm excited about these Wednesday nights and our one-on-one. And tonight I'm really excited because a lot of you have questions that only a medical doctor could answer. And we're so blessed to have this one as a part of my family and our family here at Church on the Rock. So would you welcome with me Dr. Adamson? We are so glad you're with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about you. Where do you practice and how long have you been a doctor? A little bit about that.
So I am an emergency medicine physician. I have been practicing for about 10 to 15 years. I work locally at one of our local hospitals. I've worked anywhere from level one trauma centers to small community hospitals. And right now I'm in a small community hospital in O'Fallon, Missouri.
Tell us about your beautiful family.
So I have three beautiful boys. My oldest is Joshua, he's 16. My middle child is Noah, he's 12. And then I have Benjamin, who is 6. And I have a husband, Vernon, who is a very amazing support to me.
Awesome. Awesome. We just want you to know how much we love you. We love your family. And we thank God, you know, for all that you're doing right now and those in the same field. In fact, before we go off the service, I want you to pray for those. But we have some questions that people are asking. And so let's just start. What is the coronavirus?
So the coronavirus, before we talk about the coronavirus, I'd just like to kind of talk about viruses in general, because I think once you understand how viruses work, it'll help you to understand kind of what we're dealing with. So viruses are non-living microorganisms, and they need a living host in order for them to function. In order for them to sustain themselves and to reproduce themselves, they need a living host. They cannot function outside of a living host, okay? Number one. Number two, viruses infect living hosts by injecting their material into a living host and then just basically taking over the cell. Once it takes over the cell, it starts to kind of use all the material that the cell has to reproduce itself. Once the virus is done with reproducing itself, making multiple copies, it destroys the cell and it goes on to the next host and does it again, and so on and so forth. So the coronavirus is a virus, and viruses in general have multiple classifications. They all have different families. The coronavirus is one family of many hundreds of thousands of viruses. So the coronavirus has commonly been known to cause pandemics. However, the coronavirus also causes the common cold. So other coronaviruses that have existed throughout time, especially within this century, are the ones that cause the pandemics like SARS and MERS, mm-hmm. and now COVID-19. So again, COVID-19 is a coronavirus. Coronaviruses are part of a big family under an umbrella of viruses. Wow. It needs a living host in order for it to function.
Gotcha. So the next question is, how is it transmitted?
Specifically, the coronavirus or COVID-19 is transmitted through two ways. One, respiratory droplets that an infected individual may dispense in the air by either coughing or sneezing, mm-hmm. or talking. So when we're talking or coughing or sneezing, we all produce respiratory droplets, okay? These respiratory droplets kind of infuse in the ambient environment or the environment around us. And as they diffuse into the environment, they kind of hover. But because respiratory droplets have mass, mm-hmm. eventually they're going to drop out of the ambient air onto surfaces around them. Mm-hmm. So there are two ways that viruses infect us, okay? The main thing that you have to remember is that a virus has to come in contact with the living host. And the living parts of our body that the viruses need to come in contact with, particularly respiratory viruses, are mucous membranes. Mucous membranes are the wet parts of our body. So our eyes, our nasal passage and our mouth are the primary ways that a respiratory virus will enter into our body. So the two ways that a coronavirus or any virus can get in contact with us is either we walk into the ambient atmosphere of somebody that just produced infectious material, or and we breathe that in, or we touch a surface that already has infection on it, and we don't wash our hands, and we inadvertently rub our eye, or we, you know, touch our face, and then it actually becomes transmitted into our mucous membranes.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Next question. Why is the virus so much worse than all the others we faced? What's the difference in its severity?
Sure. So COVID-19, the reason why it's so dangerous and why people are seeing astronomical numbers are because it's very subtle. The initial presentation of it is very subtle. It starts off like a common cold. So when you have a common cold, you don't think to rush to the emergency department. You think to go home, you know, take a few, Tylenol maybe and sleep it off. But when you don't know that actual common cold that you have actually is COVID-19, you're walking through grocery stores trying to buy your, tissues and supplies and your, Lysol wipes, and you're actually coughing and sneezing and you're actually distributing that virus into the air. This particular virus, COVID-19, is much more infectious than some of our other viruses. Influenza tends to infect a 1-to-1 ratio or 1-to-1.5 ratio. What I mean by that is, anytime that an infected individual breathes out their infectious material, then it can infect 1-to-1.5 people that come in contact with it. COVID-19 is somewhere around 2-to-3 people to the one person that's infected. SARS was more of the lungs of 4 people to the one. So even though this virus is contagious, there are things that we can do to contain it. And we'll talk about that later.
Great. Okay. How long do you see this going? What does it mean when they talk about this virus running its course?
So I am not an epidemiologist. I am a doctor. So I don't know in the natural how long I foresee this going. I know that all things must come to an end, and this too shall pass. So I'm not too concerned about how long it's going to go on. I know that it will end. I think that... what was the second question? I'm sorry.
The second question was about it's running its course. What do they mean when they say it's going to run its course?
So when we talk about the virus run its course, it's just like any other cold or virus that we acquire. So a virus is basically has to expand. Your immune system basically has to overcome the virus to the point where you are no longer contagious or infectious. So a good sign that you no longer are infectious with any virus is fever. So as long as you have a fever, you're what we call viral shedding. You're infectious. So if you're fever-free for 24 hours, generally speaking, you can generally say that you're not infectious. This particular virus, however, you must be fever-free for about 72 hours.
Okay. Here's a question that we didn't put down, okay? Is what can we do to build up our immune system?
Sure. So let's just talk about the immune system in general. So the immune system is our body's defense system. So God has given us a way to defend off the germs in the world. It's very, very uniquely designed. So anytime a foreign object enters our body, our immune system is activated. Sometimes it can overactivate, and that's when we get into some problems, and we can talk about that later. But generally speaking, the immune system takes care of your common colds and germs. So the things that we can do as individuals would be things like getting plenty of sleep, drinking plenty of water, which is a really common problem within our society. Dehydration is... something that I see a lot of in the emergency department. Making sure that you're eating plenty of things that come out of God's earth, like lettuce and kale and you know, berries, you know, the things that God produced. Like, if it comes out of a box, you know, it's passed through several processes.
So
that's probably something that
Doritos aren't good.
Huh? Doritos are probably not the thing that you're going to want to do when you're trying to build up the immune system.
Yeah.
You know, it's keeping yourself healthy, exercising.
So good.
You know, even if it's walking
so good
once a day, you know, you just really want to get moving, you know, especially in this time where there's lots of isolation and people that are afraid to get out of their house. And,
yeah,
you know, it's so important that you just get out and just move, you know, because there are things that can happen if we don't move that's not good for our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to kind of keep doing the things that we know what to do in order to stay healthy.
That's so good. You know, if somebody's having a problem sleeping right now,
mm-hmm,
well, what can they do to get better rest at night?
Well, I think that a lot of people that have difficulty sleeping are overstimulated. So I think the biggest thing that you need to do is make sure that you are turning off your cell phones, not turning on TV and trying to go to sleep, because it's actually stimulating your brain,
uh-huh,
instead of causing your brain to quiet down.
Wow.
You know, a lot of people have racing thoughts at night, and the last thing you want to do for your racing thoughts is add more thoughts and other opinions from TV and social media and everything else.
Yeah.
You know, when you're trying to rest, you know. In the spiritual realm, I think that it's really good that if you're really having a hard time sleeping, just get in His presence, get in God's presence. And,
yeah,
you know, I turn on the Bible app and just listen to the Word of God, turn on praise and worship music, because God inhabits the praises of His people. So doing those kinds of things will give you that peace that surpasses all understanding.
Awesome.
So I think that those are the kind of things that we can do both in the natural and the supernatural.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I think we answered that next one. Practical things our church family can do to protect themselves and stay healthy,
sure,
while they're being at home.
Sure. So I actually wrote this down, so I'm going to not miss anything.
Okay.
In the natural, we want to make sure that we wash our hands. Strict hand hygiene is really important. You know, and then you wash your hands. We want to make sure that we're washing vigorously for about 20 seconds. None of this, like, you know, put the soap on and kind of, you know, clean the water off and dry. Make sure you're washing your hands rigorously with soap and water for 20 seconds, especially your kids. Make sure that they're doing that. Make sure that if you have hand sanitizer, that's fine too, but really you just need soap and water. The other thing that you want to do is make sure that you keep your surfaces clean.
Mm-hmm.
Just be diligent about the surfaces that you come in contact with, door handles, light switches, you know, countertops, are primarily the most important things.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a healthcare professional, making sure that you take your shoes off outside of your house,
wow,
instead of inside of your house. Those kind of things that, you know, we take for granted are right now the times that we really need to be diligent about that kind of thing. So, I wrote a couple things down. In the supernatural, I wrote a couple more things for medically kind of things that we can do in the natural. If you have a fever, I forgot this part. This is the most important part. If you have a fever or flu-like symptoms, stay home. Have somebody else do your errands for you. Stay home, because the highest amount of viral shedding you're going to do is when you have a fever. So if you have fever or flu-like symptoms, stay home.
So
if you have people in your house that have a weakened immune system, stay away from them, because they don't have the immune system that we talked about to fight off the infection. Once you're fever-free, please go ahead and mingle with your family. If you have a fever or flu-like symptoms, you need to stay away from them and have them kind of do passive exchange through a closed door. And then in the spiritual, I think that you need to keep your eyes on Jesus. I think that's first and foremost, because He's the author and finisher of our faith. And, you know, He died on the cross for this.
Mm-hmm.
He nailed this to the cross 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we just need to keep our eyes on Jesus and focus on who He is and whose we are instead of this virus, because this virus is not greater than God. God is greater than all us. He knew this was coming before we knew it was coming. You know, He knows the end from the beginning. So I think that the best thing you can do is to keep your eyes on Jesus. Rest in, you know, abide in His shelter, you know, you know, just rest in that secret place and just meditate on His word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that that's number one. Number two, be mindful of your words, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I really, really can't stress that enough. I hear lots of times, people that I work with who are believers that will say things like, oh, it's going to come. It's going to come. I'm like, it's not coming. Mm-hmm. Not at this facility. Mm-hmm. It will rescind. Mm-hmm. And they look at me with kind of crooked eyes, like, how can you say that? I can say that because I know who I serve.
Yes.
So you have to be very mindful. If you want the virus to rescind, stop talking about it. You know, please start talking about how big your God is and how small this virus is in comparison. So, mind your words and speak and meditate on the word and confess the word of God. And then number four, I think that we have to follow the law. You know, we are required.
Yes.
By God.
Yes.
As believers to follow the law of the land. But with that being said, we are also called to love. So yes, follow the land of all of the land. Yes, social distance, but social distance and love. Figure out some way, be creative. God gave us creativity. If God is creative, then we have that same creativity. So be creative in how you love people. If you know that maybe somebody's fearful of kind of coming physically in contact with them, fine, go on Amazon and just get a care package and just, play ding dong jitch like we used to do when we were little. Ring the doorbell and run and just, drop them a care package and a love note.
That's good.
Offer to pay for someone's groceries behind you, or you don't even tell them that you're going to pay for their groceries behind them. Just do it. Just tell them to keep going and then, walk away. Just do things that will spread the love of God in a way that people can feel it and they can transform from fear to faith and from fear to love. I think that that's, the only way we're going to overcome this is with love and with what we're called to do. So I think that, while more than ever, people of God just need to walk in their calling and just, take a stand for who we know.
So good. So good. Amen. 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 Okay. A last question. What is some advice that you would give to those who are in the medical field at this time?
So right now we are all being very, very cautious and very safe. Every doctor, nurse, and EMS provider on the front lines are taking extra precautions to make sure that they don't contract the virus in the natural. We are all required to wear goggles. We are all required to wear a mask with every patient that we encounter. Doesn't matter if they have a cough or respiratory symptoms, at least at my facility, and I know that all of the BJC facilities, we are required to wear a mask and goggles for every single patient. If they have respiratory symptoms, we're wearing gowns, and some of us have shoe covers, some of us have hat covers. But just be mindful and careful. Don't be fearful, but be wise. We're not to test God. I want to make sure that, we're not testing God and walk in the room of a COVID positive patient and just say, God is for me, who can dare be against me? Uh-huh. And God's like, I gave you a sound mind, use it, make sure that, all the medical professionals right now, we're all taking the appropriate measures to be safe. If we have illnesses ourselves, or we spike a fever, instead of pushing through, we actually are rescinding and staying home and taking care of ourselves. I think that's the most important thing for medical professionals right now is to maintain a sound mind. And if you're being fearful and you're getting worried and anxious, to talk it out with somebody, because now more than ever, you're going to have a sound mind and be really strong for those, because the people that you're serving are hurting and they're fearful too. So I think that more than ever, you need to talk it out with somebody. Lastly, I think that as medical professionals, I think that we need to support one another. Encourage one another. The tensions are high, we need to make sure that we all take time out just to say, hey, you did a really good job there. Hey, we really appreciate how hard you're working with us and turning beds over. And we really appreciate, how well and fast you and diligent and you're cleaning our rooms, and we really appreciate what you're doing, because there's such power in that encouragement.
It really is. So I want to say thank you for walking in your calling and serving. And again, for those that are working with you, you know, we say thank you so much. Appreciate that. I want to have you pray and look into that camera in just a second for all those in the medical field and nurses and everybody. But before we do, you mentioned two or three times a sound mind.
Yes.
And here at our church, we're working right now on a new ministry for those who are mentally ill,
yes,
or suffering.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of people that on the other side of this are going to be psychologically, you know, hurting.
Totally agree.
And so what do you have any resources or references or anything that you could say to somebody that maybe has a family member right now that's really going through it mentally?
Sure. Sure. We do have resources. If you are or know somebody that is suffering with mental illness, particularly in this time, there are a couple options. I would recommend that you if you have a medical, a primary care physician, call your physician and ask for help. If you don't have a primary care physician, calling the emergency department and just asking for those resources. You don't have to come in and see us. We're happy to give you that information over the phone, particularly right now when we're trying to keep the volumes low and keep everybody safe. So if you actually have a need and you just need resources, call any local emergency department and they will give you those resources. I think within the O'Fallon community, there is one hospital that deals only with psychiatric emergencies and psychiatric illnesses. Mm-hmm. And that hospital is called Centerpoint Hospital.
Okay. So could you pray for them right now?
Absolutely. Father God, we come to you acknowledging you, thanking you, O Lord, that you are the great I am, that you are the provider and the almighty healer, O Lord. I ask, O Lord, that you would just watch over all the first responder doctors and nurses that are caring for these patients. Help them be light and salt in this earth, O Lord. Help them to see the love of Jesus.
Yes.
And those who do not know you, I ask that you just call them in, O Lord. Help them to know who you are. Give them a heart after you, Father God, that they will seek to find you and be transformed forever, O Lord. I know that you are able and you will do it, and that you will, and after this there will be a revival like never before. I know and I can feel that it's coming, O Lord, and when it comes we will be in position, Father, to receive the lost and the hurting, O Lord. We give you praise, we give you honor, we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Well, Dr. Adamson, we love you. Vernon, the boys, thank you so much for coming and being with us.
Thank you.
Okay. And then I just want to remind you that we have a 24-hour prayer line. If you need prayer, we're open. A live person. It's not automated. It's a live person, 24 hours a day. You need resources. You need help. Go to our website. Check out our resource page. There's all kinds of things there to help you. We are here to help you. We are here to make sure you're not going through this alone. Then also this service, this Wednesday night one-on-one, it'll be on our podcast. So if you know of somebody, say, oh, I wish they could have saw that, they could have heard that, they can. You know, just push them to our podcast. And just want to thank you for joining us. And until this weekend at Church on the Rock, until then, I just want to let you know I love you, I miss you, and God is for you.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.